This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 30, part 1, where I talk with Tree Pop Writer about her poem, Cilantro Flowers. I hope you enjoy!
Hi, I'm Tree Pop Writer, and this is my poem, Cilantro Flowers. I know they were only a waste of space in the garden. Kept the cilantro from growing longer, better sitting on our kitchen table anyway. But somehow these little white flowers in a mason jar fill up an empty space inside me with warmth and happiness and something that feels like a smile. I know it only took moments to snip scissors across the stems, slip the severed pieces into a jar of water, but weeks and weeks after those flowers lived on our table, I can still recall them. The clusters of tiny white blossoms, thin green stems blurry behind the words engraved across the jar, as though they're still there, bright as ever. And I know they were tiny, were easy to find a spot for among the plates, the silverware, the clutter of the 100 things I need to put away. But these flowers sparked something bigger, and they took me back to a place where things were joyful, a place where things were right, a place where the simple things counted, and I don't know why. Can't explain why I haven't told you why my family makes me happy, my school, my life. So don't ask me why something tiny matters so much. But maybe ask the cilantro flowers in the mason jar on my kitchen table, because they seem to know things I don't. How to care, how to smile at someone passing by and catch their heart, how to take them into their arms, even if you yourself don't have any, and bring them back to love.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. What was your inspiration for this?
We were growing cilantro and then we had the flowers on our table and I don't know, I liked them and they made me happy. And then YWP had a prompt for, I think it was just called Happy, that was just kind of write or have an image related to something that makes you happy. And I felt like I had had the idea of writing a poem about the flowers and I thought that the prompt was fitting. So I think having the prompt kind of had more of a direction for the poem that I was going.
That's great. Do you find that it's easy for you to write to prompts, or do you find that you sometimes have difficulty staying like with a specific topic?
Maybe. I don't do a ton with prompts. And I feel like sometimes when I write with prompts, it's not always that good, but I think they help to spark an idea. And then I'm trying to think of other things that I've done with prompts, and like it kind of sparks an idea and I feel like I go more with the idea, and then sometimes I forget about the prompt and don't think of the prompt as much.
Yeah, that definitely helps me. I think that sometimes if I feel like the prompt isn't helping me, it's because I feel like I have to stay like within a very confined space of writing. Yes. And I can't like expand it. Having an idea to jump off of really helps. So yeah. What was the first line that you thought of and how did you go from there?
I kind of had two lines. There was a line, little white flowers in a mason jar. Like that was something that made it start to feel like a poem to me, because just the image that I liked and it felt poetic. And then the last line, bring them back to love, which I think came from, I was doing a yoga practice and the theme of the practice was return, and the teacher asked, what do you want to return to? And I think I remember thinking love. And then I was thinking about, you know, the flowers sparking, like thinking back to love and simple things.
Do you do yoga a lot?
A little. I mean, I do it on YouTube and not, I have never done a class. I started it maybe during quarantine. I think I started doing it more over quarantine.
Me too. I just started getting into yoga videos on YouTube. And it's been so cool for me to, like, do that and just be, like, meditating and, like, mindful of everything. I actually find it really difficult sometimes because they're, like, just focus on your breathing. And if you have thoughts, just let them drift away. But then I always think of, like, good lines for poetry. And I'm like, oh, I should go write this down. I gotta pause the video. And then I'm like, oh, well, I should, like, stay here and keep, like, breathing and focusing on it. So it's a little difficult for me to, like, turn off my writing brain. But I really do like doing yoga. I find it really, like, peaceful.
Yeah. That's so cool, though, that you can get inspiration while doing yoga, although it may be inconvenient.
Yeah, sometimes. So do you find that you can take inspiration from yoga, or is it just this one instance?
I think something that I'm not good at is kind of looking for inspiration everywhere. Like, I just kind of wait for it to pop up most of the time. And I feel like yoga, I haven't done a lot. Lately, I've been trying to write down things. Like, I have a notebook on my messy desk right now where I'm trying to write stuff down more. And I think I mentioned yoga in it once, but I feel like I don't get a ton of inspiration from yoga specifically, but it's a cool thing to get inspiration from because it's very mindful.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that really any activity that just doesn't really require me to focus on like a physical task and my brain can just kind of wander,
yeah,
that's where I get the most inspiration. Like, this isn't great, but when I'm driving, I get a lot of inspiration. And so I'll be like just driving along the road. I'm like, oh, this would be a really great poem. And I'm like, oh, wait, I got to focus on driving. Then if I'm just like cleaning my room or like doing yoga or just something more like my brain can kind of drift and wander.
Yeah. I think my brain usually wanders with yoga. It wanders a lot, but usually to things that happen that day as opposed to writing. But things like inspiration usually pops up randomly. So,
what are your main sources of inspiration?
I don't know. I feel like with this poem and with other poems, it's often like a specific thing. Like, I feel like I take that thing and make a whole poem about it rather than having a poem with smaller metaphors. So I add that one and maybe a few other poems, but it happens. I think sometimes, like, I feel like I have an idea and then it just kind of rolls around in my brain for a while before I decide to write it down. And so sometimes it's like a feeling that I've had for a really long time or something that like popped up in one of the poems I wrote when I was a lot younger. But then sometimes it's random. It's often like a physical thing, like something related to what I'm doing.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Usually it's just like random things that I'm doing. And yeah, I do kind of have that same thing where like I have a specific line or image I want to write about. And then if I'm not really sure how I want to write about it, I'll just like leave it in my mind, write it down though so I don't forget it. And then just think about like variations. How can I reword it? How can I like find different meanings in it and that kind of thing? How can I pick it apart, yeah, essentially? What line or phrase felt like the turning point or like you had finally captured what you had been imagining?
Ooh, I think I started with kind of repetition where it was like, I know, or whatever I said. But at the end, I felt like I felt more passionate about the flowers than I did at the beginning. Maybe when I was reading it, especially, like I went to, and I don't know why, I can't explain why. Because I was talking about, like, from the prompt of happy, I was thinking about it being, like, there are so many things that I could be happy about that are a lot bigger than a jar of flowers. But I felt like in that point, I was really trying to defend the amazingness of the flowers. And that was maybe a turning point.
A lot of times when I'm writing, I find out, like, how I'm feeling as I'm writing. You know, a lot of people say that writing is like a form of self-discovery and like you discover parts of yourself as you're writing. And I think that's really interesting that like you can go into a poem or any kind of piece of writing and not really know exactly how you feel, but just have like a broad kind of idea like, oh, this makes me happier or this makes me sad. And then through the process of writing it, you find out like deeper emotions, like it makes me happy because of this and it makes me sad because of this. And so it's interesting how writing can kind of lead to all these different things that you can discover.
Yeah.
So there are so many lines in here that stick out to me. I know they are only a waste of space in the garden, these little white flowers in a mason jar, fill up an empty space inside me, warmth, happiness, and something that feels like a smile. And this almost reminds me of like a Pixar movie in a way, or like a little animated short film where someone like saves a little plant and they put it in a mason jar and they become friends with it and they have this cute little bond. And I just feel like I know, right? It's like so sweet to picture someone really caring for a plant and like not thinking of it as just like leaves or something or grass. So what were you imagining as you wrote about the kind of emotional connection between the narrator of this poem and the plant?
I kind of felt like, I guess, with the flowers, they felt like a separate world than like the world of complicatedness, because they were so simple, but just the image of them kind of felt joyful. And I felt like that was important, because it was kind of like, it felt like memories. It wasn't like it directly sparked a memory, but I feel like we think of the younger days, yeah, as simpler days. And that can mean a lot, where we kind of pause and stop living in a world that's really complicated with lots of things going on. And so I was kind of writing about that for me, and how they did that for me, and probably other people too. I don't know.
That's great. Yeah, I really connect with that, because I write a lot about like thinking about what my life was like when I was younger, and thinking about how different it is now, and how like not just complicated, but how like complex and like how many layers there are to my life now. And when you're younger, it's completely okay to spend an afternoon staring at flowers. And it's completely okay to like read a book and enjoy it and think about it for weeks. But like when you're older, that's like, oh, you're too daydreamy, and like you have to do these actual responsibilities and stuff.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a person who hates responsibility, even
Me
though.
Me too. I feel like I am pretty mature, but at the same time, I have this like part of me that just wants to like completely be a kid again and like play in a sandbox and play with like toy food and stuff.
Yes.
Right. Remember how we had like those little wooden kitchen sets and like little Velcro food?
Oh, yeah. I don't think my food was Velcro, but I definitely had a wooden kitchen set.
Yeah, me too. My younger brother still has one. So I feel like every time I walk by it, I'm just like transported back to that time when I was younger, and I had like my little spatulas and stuff, and I'd like flip things around and pretend to be a chef. I think that it's interesting how walking by an object can bring back so many memories, and that can inspire you to write about something. Or like just how memory in general inspires writing.
Yeah. And I feel like with this, it's funnier, because I feel like the flowers were not like a part of my memory. It's not like we had flowers, cilantro flowers, every year for as long as I can remember. But I think just more of like the image of them and their joy.
Yeah. So snip scissors across the stems, slip the severed pieces into a jar of water. Weeks and weeks after those flowers lived on our table, I can still recall them. The clusters of tiny white blossoms, thin green stems, blurry behind the words engraved across the jar. And this imagery is so, like, descriptive and powerful. How did you create such a vivid scene?
I don't fully know. I think, or the part where I was talking about putting the things in a jar of water, well, that time I was attempting to do alliteration, which I've never been especially good at, but I think one thing is that they were real, and it is definitely so much easier to create imagery for something real. But you have to imagine what it looks like. I knew what they looked like, so it was easier in that sense to create an image.
That reminds me of, I don't know if you ever did this for school, but all the time when I was, I think mainly in like middle school, a little bit in high school, mainly elementary middle school, but I would do this thing where I'd have to like sit outside for 10 or 20 minutes and just write about like my different senses and like what I can hear and see and smell and taste and feel and stuff. And I think that that actually really helped me with my writing, because like being more in touch with that like different senses and how like one object can like, how do I hear this object and how do I see it and all these different things.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm better at doing imagery and describing something like that than actually figuring out like a plot or a meaning. So
yeah, I think that it's definitely easier, because it gives you kind of like a formula to work with.
Yeah. And you're also more grounded. Although I feel like poetry, sometimes it feels good not to be grounded and to not fully understand it.
Yeah, I was just talking about that actually, about how like sometimes the best part of poetry is how like there isn't really a distinct meaning. You can take so many different meanings from it, and like that's what's so special about it, is that it can touch everyone in a different way.
Yeah, I love that.
And sometimes, sometimes with books, when people read books, they're like, oh, I didn't connect with the character because we had different childhoods, or because we're different genders, or because we're different ages, or because we live in different places in the world. But with a poem, there's always something that you can connect with in a poem. That's just, it's not dependent on like how you grew up or what you look like or where you live.
Even if they're hard to understand, they're often about feelings that we encounter all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on. These flowers sparked something bigger, and they took me back to a place where things were joyful, a place where things were right, a place where the simple things counted. And I know that we talked about this earlier when you were like younger and you could have more daydreams and just have a simple life. But this also reminded me of these YouTube videos I've been seeing lately where people who live in like log cabins in the woods grow their own plants and they make art and they make their own food and stuff. And they have like very simple lives, but they're very content with the simplicity.
Yeah, like I feel like, especially as like with more technology and actually living in cities, our lives are so deep with so many different things. And again, with technology, because you have like your texts and your online work and your school, and actually pandemic too, I guess. And there's just so much going on and overlapping. Whereas when you're younger, like you have different parts of your life, but it's simple and you don't question things or worry about things.
Yeah, exactly. Just like completely stress-free. It's not like, oh, this is what I have to get done tomorrow. This is what I have to worry about right now. This is like the list of people I have to write about for like all these different things. I have to work on this application. And just like so many things I feel like we're stressed out about as teenagers and young adults. Like we didn't really even think about or understand when we were younger. I guess it's really just growing up when you go from that like transition between not worrying and then worrying.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if it felt gradual or if it felt abrupt.
I don't know. That's interesting. I feel like it was kind of slow in the beginning, but then when I was in like the end of middle school and beginning of high school, it's just kind of like, okay, I'm an adult now, even though I'm not yet.
Yeah. I think starting middle school, like it started to feel more things to do and more feelings and parts of life. But then through elementary school, I mean, you definitely get, you get older and learn a lot more things. And there's a big difference in maturity between a fourth grader and a kindergartner. But I don't feel like I had like more super deep and complicated emotions or responsibilities between the elementary school years.
Yeah, I think the biggest change is like once you get to middle school, like sixth grade, that's where everything just goes weird. Yeah. Everything gets turned upside down and like suddenly there are so many more emotions to think about and like drama with your friends, drama with boys and girls and like people who like you, people who don't like you. And all these things that you just kind of have to try and balance.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Like, I feel like now, like, whenever, like, I was in gym class today and we were, like, you know, running around the gym. And, like, I feel like I would have no big worrisome thoughts about that, like, years ago. But now I'm thinking, like, what do they think of me? Like, am I a bad runner? Is it bad that I'm in front? Or am I really in front because we're running in circles?
Yeah.
And am I allowing space for people to pass me? But I would never have, like, worried about that.
Exactly. I think that when you're, like, in middle school, that's really when you're the most conscious about how other people see you. And, like, who they perceive you as, and like, what do they think of my clothes? What do they think of like my face? What do they think of the way that I walk and the way that I talk and like all these different things about me? And that's, I think, when other people's opinions start to matter to you, really.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm still in middle school, so I haven't like felt it change more.
I mean, I think once you get to high school, as someone who went to high school for 2 years, I mean, it does get better because I feel like you kind of find a solid group of friends in high school. That's really, I know that every adult says that, like, oh, once you get to high school, that's when you're going to meet your real friends and stuff. But like, for real, I think that I found a lot of my really close friends in high school, and we all have the same passions, and we all have the same, like, goals in life, and I don't really feel like I have to worry about the way that I look or the way that I talk when I'm around them. I can just be comfortable and, like, natural.
Yeah, that's, like, really important when you're finding true friends that don't have to act that way.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so moving on to your ending. Don't ask me why something tiny matters so much, but maybe ask the cilantro flowers in the mason jar on my kitchen table, because they seem to know things I don't. How to care, how to smile at someone passing by and catch their heart, how to take them into your arms, even if you yourself don't have any, and bring them back to love. So what was your inspiration for this ending?
Yeah, so I guess I was kind of personifying the flowers, which kind of seems like younger times, but also they seem wiser, and I was thinking about the things that you can learn from them and the things that they do for you, and how, like, just seeing them kind of made me happy and made me stop and kind of think back, and just the way that they can do that and reach someone despite, like, well, being tiny but also being not as important. And I think that's something important for humans to be able to do as well, which I can't do, but to be able to reach people and have that wisdom.
That's really cool. I say this all the time, but I think that as writers, we don't always have to write about, like, big, scary, life-changing, incredible moments in our lives. It can really just be something small and beautiful with, like, a little jar of cilantro flowers that you really connect to with their, like, wisdom and beauty. And then, like, you can write a really amazing poem about it. And it doesn't have to be something so huge and so, like, dramatic.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. I feel like I don't write a lot about dramatic things, and it's, like, there's so much more to capture, which is sometimes a good experience, I assume, trying to capture something big, but then turning to small things is really important, too.
I agree, for sure. All right, similar questions now. How did you first become interested in writing?
I never know, and I feel like, I mean, we, from when I started school, we would start writing things, and I think, like, teachers or my grandparents, well, of course, grandparents, but they would tell me, like, oh, you're so good at writing, but then I think the longest ago time that I can imagine or remember that I started writing things that were not for school was third grade, and I wrote this book that I never finished. I don't know how I decided that I liked writing, and I'm not sure if there was directly a book or a person, but at some point I did, and I feel like I've always had at least, like, a friend who's been also into writing, and so I feel like there's sometimes competition with that, like, ah, oh, she's so good at writing, so I have to write more now, which I think is good, but that was one thing that helped too. Yeah, I joined Young Writers Project this spring, and then I think that, like, having, like, people to share your writing with kind of inspires you to share it more, or write more, I guess.
That's great. And this is a really good question. When did you feel like you could first call yourself a writer?
Ooh, that's really good. I feel like maybe Young Writers Project was definitely one thing, but now I'm trying to think if it was before. Oh, right. I had this whole thing. I created a badge. It was a long story, but I created a badge for myself that was like, this badge belongs to a true writer. But then I don't actually know if there was a point where I really, like, seriously thought of myself as a writer. But I feel like when I was younger, I maybe took things too far and was like, I am definitely a writer. So this is like third or fourth grade. And then maybe, like, in sixth grade or something like that, I decided, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not, like, a huge writer. But then, like, when joining Young Writers Project, I went back to, I'm a writer. So I don't know.
That's really great. I was saying that I used to say all the time that I was a writer because I just, like, scrawl these, like, stories about families with, like, 13 kids in this mansion with 22 rooms. on little like pieces of paper. And then when I got older, I wasn't super into writing, but then around like middle school, I got back into it. And that's when I joined YWP. And I think that was when I started to really feel like I could call myself a writer. And it wasn't just like a cool grown-up job, you know, and it wasn't a hobby either. It was something I really loved and was passionate about. So when I joined YWP, that's when I felt like a writer.
Yeah.
So what draws you to poetry instead of fiction?
I think one thing is that I'm impatient and I don't like the long work with writing prose. You have to think up like a whole plot that actually works. I mean, I do write prose, but not as much. And with poetry, or like we were talking with imagery, like you can let the imagery be the whole thing, although poetry is nicer when there's actual meaning. But poetry, you can take an idea and roll with it instead of having something to plan or a big goal to meet.
Yeah, for sure. And it can just be a poem and it doesn't have to have like backstory and connection and plot and like all these complicated things. So what books have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
Ooh, okay. There's a poet, Naomi Shihab Nye, and I hope I've pronounced that right, but she has really beautiful poetry. And I think in fifth grade, somebody gave me a book of her poems as a gift. And I think that, I don't know at the time how much it changed my writing, but I feel like now it is because I'm rereading it and I'm thinking about that. There was a book, I think it was called More Perfect Than the Moon. It was part of a series and it's by Patricia McLaughlin. I think the character had a notebook where she wrote down different things and then I started a notebook. This was again back in the third, fourth grade era. But I can never think of prose books like novels. Like I can think of a lot of amazing novels that I love, but I can never think of one that was that directly inspired me to write, but that one definitely did. I guess maybe it wasn't as much of a novel because it was younger, but that definitely like directly inspired me to write. But I really think all books have had impact.
I agree. And this is kind of like the question when people say like, oh, what's your favorite book? And I'm always like, I've got 20 favorite books. How can I pick just one? And so I think that honestly, in a way, every single book I've read has shaped me as a like writer and a human being, because yeah. I take a little bit of every book that I read and like maybe the writing style, I take a little bit of it, or the characters or the way that the story is developed. Each kind of element of a book stays with me after I've read it, whether I like the book or not. And so it's interesting how I can kind of collect little pieces of books in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. And I also, like you said, like whether you like the book or not. And like as I'm doing this, I'm thinking like that nonfiction book or where like I feel like there have been books that I've read that I didn't like, although most of them I didn't finish reading. But now I'm trying to think if maybe they did become a part of me, even if I'm not aware of that.
I think that the main books that have shaped me would definitely be the books that I read when I was younger. And like the very first books that I remember reading with my dad, like Dr. Dolittle and The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland and like those classic books definitely shaped me. And I definitely still remember a lot of the stories, like very specific scenes from the books I remember. And then as like more of a teenager, The Book Thief has definitely shaped me. I just love everything about it. And oh gosh, so many books. I love so many. The Great Gatsby, actually. I really, really enjoyed that. And I want to read it again. It's on my to be read for the fifth time list.
That's so funny. I feel like I don't directly have a to reread list. Actually, I do, but not as much. I feel like the books that are on that list, most of them I've like completely forgotten, which is part of the reason. But then I also have books that I reread a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it difficult to reread books, or do you like? Because I feel like in a way, some people might think that they're like the way that they react to the characters and like the story won't be the same as the first time, because like they know how it ends.
Yeah, or actually, I was reading this book. This is a book that took me. It's called How to Write a Book by, now I'm forgetting her last name. Her name is Allie. Or no, it's called Dear Allie, How Do You Write a Book? Sorry. But it's about writing novels, which I don't write. But I think one thing she says is like, readers don't want to read the book again. They want to read the book for the first time again, which I think is really like, I thought of that just now. But I feel like with rereading books, there's less pressure for me because I don't read as much as I'd like, but when I do, I feel like there's pressure to like read every word. But then with rereading a book, like I don't really put that pressure, and like sometimes I skim or flip through things, and that's actually just a lot of fun to be able to read without the pressure.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. And that's really interesting about like wanting to reread it for the first time again. Because I feel like I reread a lot of books a lot because I own so many and I like to flip back through to like my favorite parts and reread it again. And I think that in a way I do reread it for the first time again if I haven't read it for like a year or two, because then I kind of forget how I felt when I first read it. And I'm like experiencing the emotions again and thinking like, oh wow, I can't believe that I forgot how much I love this or how much I disagree with this or agree with this or whatever. I also think it's really interesting how the meaning that I take away from a book changes over time. So like something I read when I was younger can have a completely different like lasting effect on me when I'm older.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the books that I have are books that I've had when I was younger. And then definitely, I feel like rereading them, it's like the cilantro flowers, you know? Like they're simpler and that's nice. But now I'm trying to think like if I really feel like I take away more meaning. Definitely, like, you know, there are the picture books that are like really deep. And I think probably as we get older, we have more of the ability to recognize that depth than when we're younger, even if we have the capability to read it when we're younger.
Yeah, and that reminds me of when I used to volunteer at the library near my house, I guess. And I used to shelf books all the time. And I've talked about this before, but I used to shelf picture books too. And they were like in little bins. So I'd like put them in by like the author's last name. And so I would kind of just look at them briefly before I put them in the bins. And then sometimes I'd be like, oh, I remember this when I was younger. Like, I remember looking at this with my parents and talking about the characters. And then some of them that were more new, I'd be like, oh, I wonder what this is about. And so I like flip through it. And it was so interesting how some of them were really like lighthearted, just about like a hamster eating chocolate pudding or like something silly like that. And then some of them were more complicated about like, this is what happens when your dog goes to heaven. But like addressing it in a really, really like simple way. I thought it was really cool how like the children book bin had like a combination of these lighthearted books and then these more serious books.
Or I'm thinking like I don't know about you, but for me, I've like oftentimes, mostly at school, I think like we would read as like past picture book age picture books. Like actually, there's a book called Each Kindness. I don't know who it's by that we've read in sixth grade because it has a lot deeper meaning despite being a picture book. And I think I read that book also maybe in like second grade, but I think like you were saying before, like you're able to take away more meaning or different meaning from it as being older. But there are like the picture books that you can the hamster eating pudding, but there are the picture books that you can take away a lot more from.
For sure. All right, some more questions. What is the best writing advice you've ever gotten?
Ooh. Now I'm trying to think. I don't know that someone's directly like said this to me, but the idea of like observing the world around you, that's something that like I really want to work on more, is like finding writing more in more places when I'm doing yoga or whenever. But I feel like that's echoed in a lot of like books that I have read, which I think is important. And then also, and I feel like this was on your podcast maybe, like there was talking about like writing not for someone else but for yourself, which I think is important because I feel like often I'm thinking about like, I'm going to post this on Young Writers Project, but then it's also important to just like write because you like writing, which, yeah. And now that I'm thinking about it, I know another book that said something similar, but I always think of, like, when I say things, like, there are so many different, like, things that I need to cite for, like, where I'm coming from. And then I feel like I haven't cited all of them. So then you think it's all me, but it's not. It's like, it's from this book, but or this person.
Well, I think that's really good advice. Yeah, is to remember, like, that you enjoy writing and that it isn't, like, a task or a chore. And it's not always for other people. Sometimes it's for you to just enjoy with yourself. So this is a related question. It may have the same answer, but what writing advice would you give to someone else?
Ooh, I feel like the things that I just said would maybe I would say, but then at the same time, those are not things that I have accomplished. So then I wonder if it has to be something that I did. I mean, I guess something that I like to do a lot is finding depth in small things, and I think that's fun to do. So, but I don't know that that's not advice. So I can't actually think of advice, but definitely the not worrying about the finished product and whether or not it's going to be amazing and whether or not you're going to share it somewhere is definitely something that's really important and for everyone. So I could say that as advice, but I don't know.
I second that for sure. I think it's really important to just enjoy and like your writing and just accept it and not be too harsh about yourself on getting it right or like making sure that other people like it. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you like your writing and that it makes you feel good. Thank you so much for being on the podcast with me and for talking about your poem, tons of other cool writing things today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
This has been episode 30, part 1 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 30, part 2. Bye!